Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotar Shuddha Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Sama Veda Bhakta Vinda Ki All glory to the temple of the Lord. All glory to the temple of the Lord. All glory to the temple of the Lord. All glory to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glory to Sri Guru. All right. Now, I hope the page didn't turn. Can you just point out to me?
Yeah, that's it.
Here, okay. Al Ginsberg. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we're reading from Miracle on 2nd Avenue, and we're on the chapter called Breaking New Ground. Allen Ginsberg was also vocal in his advocacy of LSD. How can we change America, he asked. I will make a first proposal. That everybody who hears my voice try the chemical LSD at least once. Every man, woman, and child over 14 in good health. Then I prophesize we will have seen some ray of glory or vastness beyond our social shells, beyond our government, beyond America even, that will unite us into a peaceful community. America's political need is orgies in the park on Boston Commons with naked bachinets in the National Forest. Does anyone know what that word is? Bachinets, B-A-C-C-H-A-N-T-E-S.
No, they're naked. It can't be too good.
It's a Greek orgy. It's,
yes. Oh, really? It's a Greek orgy. Oh, really?
Bacchus is the god of wine and sensual pleasures.
Oh, I see. So Bacchanet is like the worship of that god or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's far out. Okay. I am already acknowledging what is happening among the young in fact and fantasy. I am in effect setting up standards which include drugs, orgies, music, and primitive magic as a worship ritual. Ginsberg was not alone in his interest in non-Western religion. Many popular leaders of the time had a philosophy of freedom that was often expressed in the Eastern metaphysical terms of Buddhist and Zen thought. Alternative religion was in. Christianity was out. The new pilgrims considered Christianity archaic, corrupt, and out of sync. The Hate had an underground newspaper called The Oracle, which printed articles like Flower from the Street, Bon Bon Mahadev, Renaissance or Die, Psychedelic Yoga, and Environment for Expanded Awareness. One essay challenged the beliefs of Christianity with the words, "We were suspicious of your God who never failed you, always loving, a Christ with no human faults. The terrible truth was that your Christ carried hell with him, and each of you had a hell and a darkness." The lifestyle and philosophy of the scene was a bit too radical for me, but I thought we could make the most of it. Although the Swami didn't back a lot of the main tenets of the hippie philosophy, especially not the drug use and free love, the popular interest in spirituality gave me hope that a new temple might thrive in this neighborhood of seekers. The first thing I did when we arrived in San Francisco was find a phone booth to call Dustin and Melody. They were excited that we'd changed our minds about India, and they arrived in Haight-Ashbury a few days after us, along with their collie, Ralph, Joan, and her new partner, Jim. Do you know what collie means in this? It says, along with their collie. Oh, it's a dog, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a dog.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Like Lassie.
Yeah. During our first week in San Francisco, I cut out a couple of newspaper articles about India. Pool of goddess in India dried up, and rioting over cow slaughter leaves 7 Indians dead. The first article was about the annual Dussehra festival, which involved bathing a goddess in a special pool. It had to be canceled because a drought meant there was no water in the pool. The second one detailed how some holy men had stormed the gates of Parliament in Delhi, protesting the slaughter of cows taking place there. According to the article, there were about 175 million cows in India, and about 30,000 were slaughtered every day by non-Hindus. Although the report said they arrived in a relaxed, almost festive mood, it had ended in rioting and police retaliation. Both articles seemed to confirm our decision not to go to India. There was trouble even there, rioting, slaughter, drought. I made a mental note to ask the Swami what the Dussehra festival was all about, which I never did. After about a week in San Francisco, we managed to rent a railroad apartment in the city's Mission District. Its 3 bedrooms were all in a row off a dim hallway, and there was a grungy kitchen and bathroom at the back. The street name was Lucky Alley, a good omen, we thought, despite the quality of accommodation. As we moved in and got settled, we discussed what we would do in the Hate. The main thing is to get the Swami to come here, I said, but we need to get a temple set up first. That's what he asked us to do, to start a center. Sure, that's the plan, Dustin said. The only catch is that we don't have any money. So maybe the first thing we need to think about is how we can make some money, Janaki said. But how can we do that? I mean, it'll take a lot of money. It's not like we're professionals or anything. Well, there's one thing I know that'll sell fast around here and bring in a lot of money, Dustin said, but I don't think the Swami would be into it. Yeah, selling drugs just doesn't feel right, Melody said. I guess we'll just have to think of other things to sell. I could start an essential oils business, you know, selling oils and all those head shops around the Hate. I've checked them out. They sell stuff like pipes, posters, decals, jewelry, wooden flute. Do you know what a decal is?
Sticker.
It's a sticker.
Sticker. Uh-huh.
You know, the kind of things essential oils would sell fast. I know they would. They'd be good, steady money long term, I said. But we need to do something to bring in a big amount fast, you know, to get the temple set up. We also need to get the Swami's message out to a lot of people fast, Janaki said. So what if we had some kind of event that people paid for, like a spiritual rock concert or something? We looked at each other. That's not a bad idea, Dustin said. There's so many bands in the Hate, Melody said. I'm sure we could get some really good ones to play. Hey, do you remember my buddy, Rock Scully? Dustin asked. I never met him, I said, but I remember you talking about him. Well, anyway, he's the Grateful Dead's co-manager now, along with Danny Riskin. Wouldn't it be great if we could get them to play? It'd be huge. We could call it Concert for Krishna, I suggested. And here, concert is spelled with a K, so it's like Concert for Krishna. It's cute. Or Transcend Dance, said Jim. Dustin grimaced. I think we need to think about a name a bit longer. Maybe we could ask Allen Ginsberg to come, Joan suggested. And the Swami, Janaki said. Of course, the Swami. Imagine the Swami on stage at a rock concert, Janaki said. Thousands of people would hear him. He could speak at the concert, Dustin said, and he could lead a chant. That'd be a pretty major event here. Over the next few weeks, we started to get to know our new neighborhood. Our days at Lucky Alley began to take shape and run to a routine. Every morning, the six of us would chant together and eat a freshly cooked vegetarian breakfast offered to Krishna in the way the Swami had shown us. Then everyone went their respective ways to earn whatever they could to get the center started. The only one who wasn't working was me. I had my small bequest, and someone needed to be working full-time on the concert, so I was the one who did it. Who's speaking right now? Is this Mukunda? I spent my days looking for premises for the temple and meeting people along the way. Sometimes I drove, but mostly I walked, because it was a better way to meet people. Being in the Hate was a thrill for me, but unlike India, it had the added bonus of being familiar territory. I made a point of meeting the gang who put out the Oracle. I knew having friends on a newspaper would be an advantage. The Oracle published an article by George Harrison in which he said that one who can use mantras to get to the essence of, in which he said that one can use mantras to get to the essence of music. I wrote a letter to him, certain he'd never read it, saying that the opposite was true, that one could use music to get to the essence of a mantra. It was a small step, but it felt good to write a letter to such a famous musician. Maybe he'd notice us and help us with getting the Swami's mission established. Meanwhile, Dustin got in touch with the Grateful Dead's manager and got them to agree to play at our concert, and they put him in touch with some other bands. Getting things done there seemed easy, almost magical. One afternoon, on Hate Street, I was peering into a tiny vacant storefront, far too small for the temple. I realized as soon as I got there, when a voice called out to me, "Hey, are you with Bhaktivedanta?" I'm sure he said Bhaktivedanta, but whatever. I turned. A tall, portly guy with long brown hair waved to me from a few doors down. "I saw your beads," he said, pointing to the chanting beads around my neck. "Oh yeah, I am, but we just call him Swami," I said. "You got a temple here?" "No, not yet, but we want to open one." "I'll help you," he said. "I'll help you get one. I've heard lots about Bhaktivedanta, and I'd like to do something to help him get started out here." "Yeah, have you met him?" "But I know a lot of people. Friend of a friend met him in New York. Come on over to my place tonight. We'll talk about how to find a good place for him." "I can't come tonight. How about tomorrow?" I wasn't sure what to make of this encounter, and I did not want to act impulsively. "Yeah, that sounds good. Hey, were you at the temple in New York?" "Yeah, I was. I helped the Swami to find his temple there. We got here a couple of weeks back. The Swami said he'd like it if we could start a center over here on the West Coast. Well, I'm into good causes, and from what I hear, you guys are one of them. Come on over and we'll smoke to that, okay? Tomorrow afternoon? Anytime. We're there all day. 351 Cole Street. By the way, my name's Wolf. Should we, I think, stop there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What page did you stop
on? 121.
Did you finish the page?
I didn't finish the page, but it just ended the conversation. The thing is, if I finish the page, it's going to leave us in the middle of the conversation. Is that all right?
You can backtrack. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll finish it up. The next afternoon, five of us, me, Janaki, Dustin, Joan, and Jim, headed over to Wolf's place. We all agreed that we might as well check out his scene and what he had to offer. So we piled into Dustin's green 1952 Chevrolet and drove the short distance from Lucky's Alley to Cole Street. Hey, you know what Dustin said to us as we drove along? I had a dream about the Swami last night. Even though you never met him, I said. Well, I can still dream about him, can't I? I dreamed I was chauffeuring the Swami somewhere in his car. Oh God, I really wouldn't want the Swami to have to ride in this car, Janaki exclaimed. After a while, the Swami asked if he could drive, Dustin said. So we traded places, and I let him take the wheel. He drove swimmingly. What a great dream. I know, it was almost like Dustin trusted the Swami without even having met him. I thought to myself as we pulled up outside Wolf's place, and it really shows that it's the Swami driving this whole project. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 28, Text 52. Brahmana uvacha.
Brahmana uvacha.
Kātvam kasyasi kovayam.
Kātvam kasyasi kovayam.
Shyano yasya shochasi.
Shyano yasya shochasi.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Inagre vicha charta. Inagre vicha chartaha.
Inagre vicha chartaha.
Brahmana uvacha.
Brahmana uvacha.
Katvam kasyasi kovayam.
Katvam kasyasi
Shyano yasya shochasi.
Shyano yasya shochasi.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Inagre vicha chartaha.
Inagre vicha chartaha.
I'm getting tripped up on this vicha charta. Brahmana uvacha.
Brahmana uvacha.
Katvam kasyasi kovayam.
Katvam kasyasi kovayam.
Shyano yasya shochasi.
Shyano yasya shochasi.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Yanagre vicha chartaha.
Yanagre vicha chartaha.
Please chant.
Brahmana
uvacha.
Katvam kasyasi kovayam.
Katvam kasyasi kovayam.
Shyano yasya shochasi.
Shyano yasya shochasi.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Inagre vicha chartaha.
Inagre vicha chartaha.
Brahmanya uvaka.
Brahmana uvacha.
Katyam
kasya kovayam.
Sayano yasya
shochasi.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Yanagre
vicha chartaha. Brahmana uvacha. Katvam kasyasi kovayam. Shayanu yasya shochasi.
Janasi kim sakayam mam.
Janasi Inagrevichachartaha. All right, word for word. Brahmana uvacha.
Brahmana uvacha.
The learned Brahmana said.
The learned Brahmana said.
Ka.
Ka.
Who. Twam. You. Kasya.
Kasya.
Whose.
Asi.
Asi.
Are you.
Kaha.
Kaha.
Who.
Who.
Va.
Va.
Or.
I
am. This man.
This man.
Shayanaha.
Shayanaha.
Lying down.
Lying down.
Yasya. For whom?
For whom?
Shochasi, you are lamenting.
Janasi,
sorry. Janasi
kim,
do you know?
Sakayam,
friend.
Mam,
me.
Yena,
with whom?
Agre,
formally.
Vichachartha,
you consulted.
Ha,
certainly.
Certain.
Translation. The Brahmana inquired as follows. Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. Purport. When a person's relative dies, renunciation is automatically visible. Consultation with the Supersoul seated within everyone's heart is possible only when one is completely free from the contamination of material attachment. One who is sincere and pure gets an opportunity to consult the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his Paramatma feature, sitting within everyone's heart. The Paramatma is always the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within, and he comes before one externally as the instructor and initiator spiritual master. The Lord can reside within the heart, and he can also come out before a person and give him instructions. Thus, the spiritual master is not different from the Supersoul sitting within the heart. An uncontaminated soul or living entity can get a chance to meet the Paramatma face to face. Just as one gets a chance to consult with the Paramatma within his heart, one also gets a chance to see him actually situated before him. Then one can take instructions from the Supersoul directly. This is the duty of the pure devotee, to see the bona fide spiritual master and consult with the Supersoul within the heart. When the Brahmana asked the woman who the man lying on the floor was, she answered that he was her spiritual master, and that she was perplexed about what to do in his absence. At such a time, the Supersoul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master. A sincere devotee who follows the instructions of the spiritual master certainly gets direct instructions from his heart from the Supersoul. Thus, a sincere devotee is always helped directly or indirectly by the spiritual master and the Supersoul. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. If the devotee serves his spiritual master sincerely, Krishna automatically becomes pleased. Yasya Prasadad Bhagavad Prasadaha. By satisfying the spiritual master, one automatically satisfies Krishna. Thus, the devotee becomes enriched by both the spiritual master and Krishna. The Supersoul is eternally the friend of the living entity and always remains with him. The Supersoul has always been ready to help the living entity, even before the creation of this material world. It is therefore stated here, Yanagre Vichachartha. The word agre means before the creation. Thus, the Supersoul has been accompanying the living entity since before the creation. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shlakaya Chakshoru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Okay. Thank you all for coming. So, put it in context, Narada Muni is speaking with King, King Prachina Barhishat, and he's relating this allegory of the life of King Puranjan. And so, just to sum it up, King Puranjan was a great king, and he had a nice family, but he became very attached to this world and to his family, and his kingdom was attacked, and ultimately he was killed, and he died thinking of his family, of his wife, of his kids. And as a result, he took birth as the daughter of King Vidarbha. He took birth as the daughter of King Vidarbha, Vidarbhi, and eventually he married Malayadhvaja, who was also a great, powerful king, and eventually Malayadwaja renounced the world and went to the forest to practice austerities like kings used to do in the ancient Vedic times. And Vidarbhi followed him there, and basically Malayadwaja attained perfection, and he was practicing devotional mystic meditation, and he left his body, and Vidarbhi was kind of tending to him. And then when she realized he left his body, she started lamenting, because this was her guru, her husband, her like best friend, and so she was obviously very sad. And when she basically, in the previous verse, I believe, she started building the funeral pyre to perform the sati rite. And right when she did that, this Brahmin came and then asked her this question: who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. And then the Brahmana goes on to explain how he's actually the super soul, he's Krishna, and they've been together eternally, and he's been trying to guide her. And he basically explains like the tattva about the Paramatma in the following verses. So the Brahmana here is the super soul, and Prabhupada explains in the purport that it is possible to consult with the super soul who is in everyone's heart. So Paramatma is there, and we can have communication with the Paramatma, with Krishna in our heart. But Prabhupada mentions that this is only possible when one is completely free from the contamination of material attachment. So it's almost like a radio has static. So when there's a message coming through the radio or through the television even, but due to static, we can't perceive that message. So similarly, Paramatma is there within all our hearts and is trying to communicate with us. But due to kama, due to lust and material attachment, we cannot really perceive the message. We can't really communicate directly with the Paramatma. Although sometimes, even in the lower stages of devotional service, we do have some sort of communication with the Paramatma. Mostly all devotees I've met have had some sort of experiences that have confirmed to them that actually Krishna is there guiding and communicating them, helping them. And then the reverse of that is a lot of times, sometimes devotees like will attribute kind of mundane things to the presence of the Paramatma. Like, you know, they might say something like, they'd be like, oh, you cooked for, you know, lunch exactly what I wanted. Definitely that was the Paramatma. Or something like that. Something not, you know, you're walking down the street and you meet a devotee and they're like, oh, Paramatma. You know, it's Devamrita Swami once was relating to me, well, related to one of his disciples who related to me, that it's not like so cheap that it's just like, you know, you just have like some sort of intuition and that's Paramatma realization. Like actual Paramatma realization is a very high platform where you're directly communicating and experiencing Krishna's direction in your life. But even at the lower stages of devotion, we can have some sort of things happen in our life that seem, they're like totally incredible. And it confirms to the devotee that Krishna is there in their life, helping them and acting within their life. I've had some experiences like this. I'm sure mostly all of you have. Like, for instance, on book distribution, sometimes you'll see a person, you'll be like, that person. And then you'll go up to them and they'll be like, yeah, I'm totally interested in God and meditation and yoga. And it's far out how it happens like that. It seems too much to be a coincidence that you just get this indication and then it's actually what the person needed. I had one experience of this. I mean, I'll share this with you. Even I'm not telling you this was Paramatma, but it seemed like really far out. This was during the when was this? This was in September, I believe. I was doing traveling book distribution with two other devotees from San Diego Temple, and we travel in a Sprinter van. You guys know what a Sprinter van is? So we were traveling in a Sprinter van, and basically we'd drive to school, we'd park at some place overnight, and then we'd distribute at the school during the day, and then we'd just travel around California doing that. And we were in, what's it called? It's in Northern California. My memory is blanking. What's like the most hippie place in Northern California? Humboldt. And then near Humboldt, there's this other town. Do you know the town south of Humboldt? There's this town, city south of Humboldt, and it's like really like a redneck place, to not be offensive, but it's like really like conservative, and they really hate the fact that Humboldt is so liberal. No, it's Arcata or something. It's Arcata, and then there's another city. I'll have to look that up. So we were in that other city, and we were looking, it's really tough in some places to park overnight, so you have to like look all around the city for like a street or a place where you can park the van and then sleep overnight. And so, you know, we parked at this, like by this forest in this one place on the street, and we all got in our sleeping bags, you know, got ready for bed. And then I had asked this one devotee if he could lock the doors of the van. And then he said, okay, I'll do it. And then we all lied down in our sleeping bags. And I was there for like 3 or 4 minutes just like resting. And then for some reason I was like, Joey, did you lock the back door of the van? And he's like, yeah, I did. I was like, are you sure? And he goes, let me check. And he goes and he's like, wow, I didn't lock it. And so he locked it. And then we all lay down in our sleeping bags. And then 5 minutes later we hear this banging on the car. And you hear this voice like, we know you're in there, boss, you get out of here. And they were like, they were actually trying to open the back door. Like, they actually tried to open the back door, and they were banging on the door. And they said they were going to, like, they, like, put some stuff on our window. And they were just, like, really, I think they were, like, people in the neighborhood who kind of thought they knew what we were doing, and then were trying to, like, basically attack us and scare us out of the neighborhood. And so, if I hadn't asked him if he'd locked the back door, they would have actually, like, opened up the back door while we were sleeping in there. And I don't know what would have happened, but that would have been pretty far out scary. So sometimes things like this happen, and you know, all right, I can't tell you that that was like Krishna trying to save us, but it did seem like kind of far out coincidence, and it gives me more faith. It makes me think like, wow, there's definitely some sort of divine intervention going on in this situation. So, yeah, we can all experience that. So, basically, the system Krishna has devised in this for souls in the material world is that he travels along with the individual soul from body to body, trying to guide and help the individual soul to come back to him, to turn to him. The example given is in the Vedas and the Upanishads, that you have a tree full of fruits, and then there are two birds in the tree, and one is trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree, and the other bird is just watching. And the one who's enjoying the fruits of the tree is suffering, and he's just waiting to turn towards the other bird, the friend who is there with him. So Paramatma is with us like that, and then also Krishna arranges that we receive external help from spiritual teachers. And this is how we actually get the seed of devotion. And then this eventually guides us back to Godhead. And there's the verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Guru Krishna Prasade Poi Bhakti Lata Bij. So basically, Krishna has created this system really in order to help us. And we have help coming from all these different angles, really. Shastra, you have Diksha Gurus, Siksha Gurus, Vartmana Pradarshika Gurus, you have Chaita Guru, you have Sadhus. You have so much help coming from so many different directions. It's like, even in like a mundane academic institution, let's say you're studying math or you're at college and you have a college counselor who wants you to pass and graduate from the school. So let's say you're studying math, they'll guide you to a sense. They'll say, like, they'll give you a good teacher, and then they'll make sure you have good tutors, they'll make sure you have the right textbook, they'll give you online resources, they'll give you advice on how you should study and how you should practice. So you're getting a lot of help. But if we still, like, kind of slack off and then we fail and we don't actually pass the test, we don't learn the information, the counselor doesn't, like, you know, doom us for eternity or something, but says, all right, next year, okay, we'll just arrange for you, you know, take the summer. If you fail, then you can take summer courses. And if you fail that, then you can take it again, you know. And then if you fail that completely, it's like, okay, math, maybe that's not your subject. Maybe you should do writing or something. So Krishna is like this. He's very reasonable and merciful and guides us according to our level and helps us. Generally, and this is another interesting point, is that Vaidarbhi was lamenting because her guru had left. Her guru had departed, her husband, and she was lamenting. And this is a reasonable lamentation, because if we're dependent upon the instruction and guidance of guru in order to succeed in our spiritual life, and then the guru departs, what are we supposed to do? Because all of a sudden, you're without your teacher, you're without your guide. So it seems that it's a really lamentable situation, actually. It's like, just like if you were taking a math class and you had to take a test, you know, the test would be like dying or something. But you have to take the test, but all of a sudden your math teacher dies and you still have to take the test. You know, it's like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, I mean, of course, that's not a perfect example because there's so much you can do. But basically, it is a lamentable situation. And it could seem hopeless to a disciple because their spiritual master is their source of knowledge, wisdom, guidance, is their connection to Krishna. So what are they going to do at that point? But Prabhupada then reassures us here, and it is very reassuring, that in the absence of the guru, we will be guided by Paramatma as long as we're sincere and we're strictly trying to serve and follow the instructions of the guru. So basically, even if our spiritual teacher passes away or is completely out of touch for some reason or another, if we're serious and sincere and we're really trying to follow properly their instructions, then Krishna's Chaitanya Guru will guide us. And so we don't really need to have any fear about that particular point. And Prabhupada is a great example of this, because his spiritual master gave him instructions and guided him, but then his spiritual master passed away. And Prabhupada really was on his own in one sense. Of course, he wasn't on his own because he was with Krishna, but in one sense, he was on his own, especially when the Gaudiya Math institution started fighting. Then he was really, in many ways, on his own. And so he's a really good example, because he really strictly tried to follow the instructions of his guru and fulfill his orders. And he obviously came out successful. He obviously fulfilled the order of his spiritual master. And when you read Lilamrita, and I'm sure in 26, in this book, Miracle on Second Avenue, it talks about it, how he was an Uttama Bhakta, so he was everyone and everything in one sense was his guru. He was receiving Krishna's instructions from within his heart and from everything else and from everyone else. And there's one story that really illustrates this, which is very nice, is that he was producing Back to Godhead magazine. And so he would produce a Back to Godhead and he would go out and distribute it himself. And he worked really hard to do that. When you read Lilamrita, it's astounding. It's like, wow, this is like, you know, he was doing everything. Writing, editing, printing, distributing. And so he was distributing Back to Godhead magazines. And then he went to one librarian and tried to distribute the Back to Godhead magazine. And the librarian said, you know, books last a lot longer than magazines. I'm sure it'd be a lot better if you distributed books instead. And Prabhupada actually, it says in the Lamrita, he took this as his spiritual master speaking through that person. And he decided at that point that now I have to write books. And so he started writing Srimad Bhagavatam. And once he completed the first canto, then he came to the West. So he was continually being guided by his spiritual master, even when his spiritual master was not present on the planet at that time. And even actually, in Lila Amrita, it explains that his spiritual master came to him in dreams, like 3 or 4 times, urging him to take sannyas and to go to the West. And so Prabhupada was continuously getting that help. And so we also have that access if we're serious, sincere, and really trying to follow the instructions of the spiritual teacher. And so I guess the last point I'll make is that Paramatma, Prabhupada says, it's the last, one of the last sentences here. Supersoul is eternally the friend of the living entity and always remains with him. The Supersoul has always been ready to help the living entity even before the creation of this material world. So, Krishna is our friend. Krishna like really does care about us. And Paramatma is our friend. And he definitely respects us, is trying to guide us, and he has our best interest in mind, which is very encouraging because we're getting help from the best helper. He respects us in many different ways, but you know, if we desire to enjoy the material world and forget him, he actually respects us and lets us do that, and even facilitates that. And if we actually want to come to him, he also respects that, and he guides us and directs us in the best way possible to come back to him. And so it's really an encouraging situation. And ultimately you might ask, well, why does the Supersoul do this? Why does Krishna do this? I mean, he's God. So it's interesting because in Vaishnava perspective, God is ultimately in the spiritual realm enjoying, like anything, with his associates. And they're having these beautiful, loving relationships. And then you have some living entities that, you know, they declined that and came in the material world. So, you know, the question might arise, like, why does he even care? Why does he, you know, for him to expand into so many different forms and expand into Paramatma, go into every atom, follow every soul, and guide us for as long as we want in the material world, why does he take that upon himself? If he just has the ability to just enjoy and be, you know, in the spiritual world. And the ultimate reason for that is because he loves us. He like really definitely cares about us. Krishna even says in the Bhagavad Gita in 1864, he's explaining to Arjuna that this is like the supreme secret. And what's the supreme secret? He says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pati jane priyosime. There's two parts to that. One part is the supreme secret is become my devotee, think of me, love me, offer your worship to me. But the other part of that is prati jane priyosime. Or priyosime, you're very dear to me. That's actually part of the supreme secret that Krishna is explaining, that he actually loves us. It's very interesting. He doesn't, like, all over the Gita, he's not like, I love you, I love you, I love you. But he does say it, but it's very subtle. You know, and just like, you know, if we have any relationship with anyone, you know, it's kind of awkward if, like, you know, we're always just like, I love you, man, you know, yeah, I really love you, you know, but, because that's, you know, it's weird, it's like, kind of creepy or something, but Krishna is, he does love us, and so but it's a secret, it's like not like something he's advertising on billboards or something. He is basically, at the end of the Gita, as the supreme secret, he states that he loves us, and so he wants us to come to him. And so that is why he actually takes this burden, in a sense, as Paramatma, to help us and guide us so we can come back to Godhead and be with Him eternally. So I guess I'll end there. If there are any questions, comments, or anything else like that. Yes?
I have a question, maybe a silly question. Just I was wondering about when Krishna came to in the form of a Brahman, because we know that Krishna's form is always spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so was it like really Krishna in this form of mm-hmm. a Brahman? Or it was like a Brahmana, and uh-huh. Krishna just like, he saw Krishna in yeah. the Brahman. So was it a Jiva? Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that this story is actually an allegory. It's not actually happening in the sense that when we go to the back, we find that Narada Muni is speaking with King, Prachinabharishat. He's speaking with King Prachinabharishat and in giving him this whole long story to instruct him about various things, non-attachment to the material world, how one develops material attachment, how one gives up material attachment, how Krishna helps us. So he's giving this whole allegory. So in this sense, I don't think it's not, because the Brahman, in a sense, is figurative. So, it's figurative, basically. Yeah. Cool. No problem.
One thing is Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that first he talks of renunciation at the graveyard for someone whose relative dies, they naturally become introspective and mm-hmm. mood of renunciation. That's a common thing. I remember I went to a funeral of my aunt when it's like 10 or 12 years old, and at the graveyard when they're burying your relative, and naturally a feeling comes over you like, you know, what is this all about? And you look outside looking outside the street, and it was in New York City, and you see all the cars driving by and people walking by, and you're like, wait, this person is dead here, and I didn't know about leaving your body, but this person is dead here. It's like this really heavy thing, but everybody out there is just still going about their business, like nothing happened. So it really, you know, there's a certain type of renunciation that it quickly fades as soon as you leave the cemetery, or very quickly you fall back under the, you know, the standard material illusion again, and you pretty much just get back into sense gratification. But that's a common feeling of renunciation that people have. Another common Prabhupada uses the phrase that Krishna is automatically pleased, and generally we say that you know that devotional service is not automatic. You like in the autobiography when Satsrupa Maharaj in the beginning, he was supposed to go to the first initiation, get initiated, but he stayed back and he was typing for Prabhupada, and which was his duty, and the next day he went to Prabhupada and gave him the manuscript that he had typed, and Prabhupada said, he said, where were you last night? Why didn't you come to the initiation? And Satrupa Maharaj was thinking, well, I wasn't really ready, and I had these questions in my mind, but I typed for you. And I don't think he said that, but it was obvious, his attitude to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, his response to him, which was the key thing that Prabhupada said to him, and he'd never forgotten, is that this service is not automatic. If you love me, then I will love you. So it's not like a mechanical process that you just do the service, you give it to me. But in this case, in this purport, Prabhupada uses that phrase, Krishna is automatically pleased if a person is serving his spiritual master, following his instructions. So it's like in the beginning of anything, just to see somebody doing the basic things like somebody comes off the street to the temple, they've never been here before, and right away they start, you know, pick up beads and start chanting and look at the deities in a nice, respectful way. And they've never done anything before. So in the beginning, just if they do these things, even if then it's automatically pleasing to us if you see somebody. But yeah, as time goes on, then naturally you look at them and you see what, you try to perceive what their mentality is while they're doing the thing. So, but just in the beginning, just to do the basic things is pleasing. It was so in that sense, it's automatically pleasing to Krishna. And there's one letter from Prabhupada to this devotee, and I know Shivananda, and he said, in the letter, he said, you are trying to please me, therefore I am pleased. Hmm. Is that you're, because you're trying to please me, I'm pleased. So it's not, it's really not hard to please the spiritual master and Krishna. It's just a matter of, you know, like I said, being sincere and trying, mm-hmm. and just trying to be good, trying to be a good boy and girl,
yeah,
trying to do something nice. Okay, those are my comments.
I'll just comment quickly on one thing you said, the graveyard renunciation. I like that phrase. I actually experienced that one time also when I was young. I had a pet mouse, and then the mouse died. I remember I was really like shaken up, and I like went on a walk with my mother, and we like talked about life and death and stuff like that, which was not an ordinary thing to do for like, you know, 12-year-old, 10-year-old sort of kid. But when that death comes to someone dear, then it like automatically happens. It's interesting. Thank you. Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Mahamishita Krishna Pushtava Dutmay Srila Bhakti Vyasa.